Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. We fixed it.
So far, so good.
I should knock on wood.
Yes, you should. I don't have any wood to knock on. My desk is glass, so that's really unfortunate.
Right.
You're going to have to do the knocking for both of us.
There.
Perfect.
Folio. Folio work. Is that what they call it? I don't know. Radio. Next time on Captain America. I've been watching Agent Carter. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. So speaking of things that we've been doing, I resubbed to Loot Crate.
Why? I thought we had this conversation. I thought we were going to be strong together, Jocelyn.
We did have this conversation, but then they made April Fantasy Month. And I was like, it's like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and something else. Game of Thrones, I think, or something like that. And I'm like, those are my favorite things.
Can't you like go out to like EB Games and buy a couple Funko Pops and just be good?
I probably could, but I couldn't say no to them. They sent me this email. There was the word fantasy made out of like a whole bunch of different things, like dragons and castles and vines.
Well, see, this is the thing. This is what I did. Like, and I don't personally have a drug problem, but I will use it as an analogy. When you have an addiction, you cut it right from the source. You get rid of it. You don't keep a little crack cocaine underneath the counter there just in case. I unsubscribe from those emails. Unlike their Facebook, unfollowed on Twitter. I'm sorry, Loot Crate, but it had to be a hard, cold turkey cut. I wasn't going to keep a little redemption code tucked away under my desk just in case. A cool theme came across.
We'll see what happens, because if I get the fantasy crate and it's really, really crappy, which I already have a pretty good idea what's in it because they sent me a spoiler email. See? They gave me until it was sometime last week where you could still sign up. So I signed up for the April crate, and it was literally like probably a day left on the counter.
Sure.
When I actually signed up. And so I don't actually have it yet, but they sent out the email saying what's in it. And I'm just like, man, like, damn it.
Well, it's fine. I guess I should, you know, again, going back to the drug addiction analogy, when you have an addiction, they tell you to like replace that addiction with something healthier, like exercise, or like my Nana and Papera, they quit smoking by chewing gum. Nowadays, people just vape, but they're not cool enough to do that. So what I did was I said, well, I'm not going to subscribe to Loot Crate. It's $35 a month. I'm going to buy Amiibo. I can't even do that. Nintendo will literally not let me have an addiction to their service because they sell out instantly. So, I mean, really, who is winning? Not Nintendo. Or me, for that matter. But Loot Crate is.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what I get when it gets here. But, yeah, they sucked me back in. But they only sucked me back in for April. I did a one-month thing. Even when they said, like, oh, you're going to save so much money if you sign up for 6 months, I was like, nope.
So you gave them 1 month and you unsubscribed right after that.
I'm not technically unsubscribed, but I will once I see what Maze is going to be.
See, that's how they get you.
I know, but then I'm going to see what Maze is going to be, and it's not going to be Harry Potter and Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, and I'm going to be like, well, sorry.
What if it's
going
to be something like games?
Well, but see, they tend to do very specific types of video games, so I feel like I'll be able to say, like, yes, I like that, or no, I don't like that, and yeah, I'll make an informed decision.
That's the issue, is I like a lot of things. I kind of have, like, a varied palette.
You like everything.
I know. I do. And even the stuff I don't like, I still get along with. Like, if we were ever to pass in the halls, we'd give, like, a quick nod and keep walking. Like me and Hearthstone, but occasionally I'll break down and play a little Hearthstone, when it came out for the iPhone. There's your mention of Hearthstone, folks. that'd be my issue, is I wouldn't unsubscribe and I wouldn't get rid of the emails, and I'd see an email like, oh yeah, 10-year anniversary of Ghostbusters and this.
Oh
and
man,
that
10-year anniversary one, because it was The Simpsons too, wasn't it? It was like Ghostbusters, Simpsons. It was celebrating anything that had an anniversary last year.
A stupid wallet somewhere around here. Like, I'm never gonna use it. I'm never gonna use a Simpsons wallet. Like, what? Look at what's this thing? What is this? What is that? I don't even know what it is.
What isn't that?
It's a bunny who's doing crack cocaine. Full circle. All the crap. There's some cool crap. I look upstairs. I look up. There's like my Skyrim dragon and my my Groot with the glow-in-the-dark hand and my Joker Batman Funko thing. There's some cool stuff, but it just didn't feel like it was worth the price of admission. I know, like, all of our American listeners are like, but it's only like $12. It's like, that's a screaming deal. If it was $12, I would never unsubscribe. Yes, that's the please. Thing.
I think
send
it
me
cost me. Yeah, I think it was $35 to resub, and that's pretty pricey for what you get. Although I think there's supposed to be a T-shirt in it, so I find that when there's T-shirts, like there's that Zelda one from I can't remember when, where Zelda's made up of all the words. Or sorry, Link is made up of all the words. And I've worn that like 1,800,000 times. I love that T-shirt. But then there's two or three other T-shirts that I have that I've only worn to volleyball because I don't really like them as much. So the T-shirts are hit and miss because obviously you don't get to see them ahead of time. But when they get it right, then they're fantastic. So I like it.
I do enjoy the T-shirts. I think every T-shirt they've given me has been good except for that weird cat skull one that just seems creepy.
I don't think I got the cat skull one.
Dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
I have a cat skull T-shirt in my closet.
I'm also subscribed to the Espionage Cosmetics monthly loot box thing, and that one is fantastic.
That's
that
one the I love. Wrapper things.
Yeah, that's the nail wraps, and they do like mineral makeup and really just other cool, neat little stuff. So I got a lip gloss, although, and again, like this is the same sort of thing. Everything that you get in the box is blind, right? So the lip gloss that I got is kind of this like orangey, browny, bronzery kind of color, which doesn't fit my coloring at all. All the stuff I always wear is in like pinks more than oranges. So, I won't ever wear it, but I did try it, and it's really high-quality stuff. So, cool. Plus, then they sent you, like, I think 5 nail wraps. Hmm. And if you buy the nail wraps individually, they're, like, $12 each for a set. So, I mean, like, I think it was $30 for the month, and you get 5 sets of nail wraps plus something else. So, I mean, so much value in the box, but you don't get to choose, and that's, you know, the trade-off, right? So...
Yeah, I should talk to you about that because, not for me, but my wife, Ashley, who had just got into the wrap stuff. It, not like wiki, but like she got, she ordered some of those, like, those wrap things from work. And I'm like, what are those? Those look familiar. It's like, oh, that's what Jocelyn was talking about. And for those saying, like, this isn't gaming talk, well, you did get ones that had gaming stuff on them, right?
Well, that's the thing, and that's why I mentioned it, is that the espionage stuff is all geek-related. So it's, like, it's tabletop gaming, video games, computers, space, you know, cool. Comic books. There's all kinds of really, really cool themes, and they're really, really well done. They last, you know, about 10 days if you put them on and then put a clear coat on over top. So that's why I'm mentioning it, is they are geeky. Mm-hmm. And I actually found out about it through Veronica Belmont. So, they're doing really, really well. So I backed both their Kickstarters, and part of their Kickstarter was you could be part of their kind of beta test for these monthly loot boxes.
Neat.
So that's what I did.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I'll have to pass that information along to Ashley. I think she's been sort of experimenting with a local company called... like Jammy Jams or something. That's not the real name, but like Jammies.
Jamberry is a thing.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I call it
Jam. They're definitely not local to Peterborough, but I think people sell them like...
they're like Avon. Yeah. There's a local Jammy girl, Jamberry. Yeah. I would never call her that. That'd be weird. But Jammy Jams are what my grandma called her cookies, but that's...
We're going way off topic here.
Yeah, well, so I figured we might as well talk about
cooking. I also wanted to tell everybody that I actually got a new gaming chair. I'm obviously not sitting in it right now, but I ordered it this morning. I'm super excited. It's one of those DX racers. It cost me way too much money, but I should have it next week. So no more squeaky chair, no more uncomfortable pain in my lower back.
Well, that's good.
I spend so much time sitting in front of the computer, I really deserve a new chair.
Yes. I should really look into one, because this one's kind of like falling apart. Not really falling apart, but like the I don't know what you'd call it, the lining, I guess, is like from sitting in it, it's kind of like come off. So, like it's exposing the cushioning, I guess.
I see.
Probably got ripped from the dog, and then it went downhill from there.
So. Fair enough. But yeah, so my new chair should be coming next week, which means I will be more comfortable when streaming things like Killing Floor 2, which is what we played last night on game night. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, when you suggested that we play this and it was actually gifted to us by a fan,
yes.
Like, oh, it's going to be zombies and it's gross. It certainly doesn't sound like the kind of game that I'm going to enjoy, but, you know, it's the patrons, so I have to do it. And I had so much fun.
See? But see, that's the thing. That just proves that it's a really good game. Now, I was with you on that one because I had seen the first one and I was like, yeah, you know, I love horde mode, but I'm not a huge fan of like free-to-play sort of. It's not free-to-play, but it's in early access right now. I think it's $30 if you want to get in on it. But I wasn't sure what to expect. And I knew, like, knowing the type of games that you like, I was like, fine, yeah, we'll all play. And I was looking forward to it, but it was like, well, Justin might want a backup plan for, like, game two, which we'll get into later. But I really enjoyed it as well. And I think the class system really pays off. It was reminded me very much of the way they have classes set up in Evolve. You know, with
true.
The...
That's true.
With did the... they melee in Evolve?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
It's been too long. I need to play that game, too. Speaking of games that I haven't touched.
Wait, no, sorry, they don't. They have a medic, they have a support, they have the hunter, and then they have, like, that, like, commando dude, like, the big tanky guy. But everybody has guns in Evolve. Nobody melees the monster. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, the monsters are, like, it'd be like going up to Godzilla and kicking him in the toe. Yeah, no, it's really cool. I think you enjoyed most of all that you were playing as your badass samurai chick, which we'll get it out right of the way. One female character in the game. It is early access. Yeah. You know, we all know how hard it is to design female characters. It's in beta. Give them some time. Being sarcastic, folks. So I assume there will be more characters. We were playing with James and David, who said that the original had a metric ton of characters, so we can expect more probably in development, but for beta it's really solid.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun, and I had fun playing a melee character, which I never ever do in any game ever. Yeah. So it was surprising to me. I got to play with the samurai sword and then realized most of the way through the night that I wasn't actually gaining XP with the samurai sword, because apparently berserkers are not supposed to use samurai swords, which who else is supposed to use a samurai sword?
Ninjas.
Nobody else is melee. So dumb.
And that's the other thing. You can choose your class, and it's not tied to who you pick. So David was playing the priest, and you could be any kind of priest you want. A medic priest, a brutal slayer priest, one that shoots things. Not many priests do that, but in this game...
You totally can.
You can be a priest and shoot things and live your wildest fantasies as a shooting priest. So yeah, that was interesting, because in Evolve it's tied specifically to that character, and you can't play so and so as a medic. And the customization options are there, and it's definitely like, guys, we're gonna sell you hats and shirts and
yeah, you can totally see that coming.
And the first game had it too, so we shouldn't be surprised, but right now I don't think there are no microtransactions, as it's in early access. I think you can upgrade to the deluxe edition for $10 if you purchase the original, which gets you a new character.
Yes,
maybe a few
right.
other things. But to be honest, there was only two characters that really stood out to me. It was the priest that looked really cool. Three. The priest, the guy I was playing, Mr. Bunker, I can't remember his name, but he had like a gas mask. And then your character, the female, I can't remember any of their names.
Yeah, no, I think
fashion.
Do you mean like character in terms of like the character model, or do you mean character in terms of the role?
Oh no, in terms of the way they looked, in terms of the model, and just the way they were designed. The other ones just kind of felt kind of like, here's our police dude, here's our Asian guy, here's our you know, they're all very generic. Whereas like the chick is like the punk rocker, and the priest is like a priest, he's still got his collar on. And the weird British guy with the gas mask is just neat. and very very Payday, actually. It felt like to me with the masks and stuff.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's a horde-based wave multiplayer game. You're playing against AI, and it was like...
And hard AI. That boss was ridiculous. We didn't defeat him all night long.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, once you're done clearing all of your waves, you have this one boss fight against... And there's only one boss, right? Ever? Wasn't Killing Floor 1 the same?
I don't know. I remember them saying that there was a few bosses in the first one, but I get the sense that this game, because it's in early access, they've got one boss to start out. Which should be noted that the first time I've ever paid attention to this game was last night.
I never paid attention. Because again, like I said, it's zombies, it's gory, it's not the kind of game that I normally pay any attention to whatsoever. So I think maybe it's a sign I need to branch out a little bit more, but... Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I think playing with friends, too, really made a difference. And you can play with up to, we had 7 people, is that right?
Six. You can play as 6, and you can kind of, it works sort of like Overwatch in the sense that you can swap your class when you die. The progression, how it works, is you choose a set amount of waves, and at the end of each wave, basically, I think the whole goal of the game is just to clear out as many zombies as possible. That's sort of your mission, to go in and clear them out. There's no real progression in the sense that you're moving from area to area, but it's like a map. And after you finish a wave, which is basically kill all the zombies, and there's a little number in the top left, it says, like, okay, run to the shop and, you know, upgrade your shit. So you're buying, like, guns, you're getting new armor, which reminded me of, like, Counter-Strike, where every round you started, you were going buy all your ammo and your armor and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was really neat. And then at the end, like you said, we fight a boss, and that boss kicked our cans every time, even with a high-level character that had jumped in randomly. So there's definitely a lot of replayability there, and...
I really felt, because I played the Berserker, which is kind of like the tanky character, and I really felt like I was contributing to the group and doing a lot of damage, and oh man, I had so much fun, and it was so surprising, because normally I don't like being right up in everything's face, but it was like, I really felt and maybe this just means I should tank in other games, and maybe it was because it was a first-person tank sort of thing, but I was just like, oh my god, my team, you know, like, I'm going to clear this doorway and protect you guys while you do the one thing in the back, you know, like, I felt like I was really contributing, and I really liked that idea, so I think maybe I need to learn to tank in other stuff.
Yeah,
and... I've never done it before.
Yeah, I have never done it either, and the biggest thing for me when tanking, I feel like I'm punished for tanking, you know, like, and in WoW specifically, I don't think the game design punishes you, I think it's just the stigma of letting people down, like when, like, the tank is just so key, and all the people I know that have been great tanks are just, like, they're just really good at it, and I feel like I'm sure if I did it, I'd put my heart to it, yada, 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 Winnie the Pooh, everyone's good, everyone's a good person. I'd be able to do it, and everyone would be like, yay, Ryan. But to me, it's like that crippling anxiety, like, oh my god, I can't do it.
There's definitely so much more. And maybe that's why, like, when I went into this game, I was just kind of like, meh, it's just game night game, you know, there's no pressure, it's, you know, no big deal. Versus if it was like a WoW raid, I feel like there's just so much more pressure on tanks and healers than there is on DPS, and I've always just been DPS and ranged at that, right? So I'm and not just ranged, but ranged hunter, which means I'm mobile when I'm casting, so.
Oh, the best part we haven't mentioned yet about this game, I'm a huge fan of, like, slow-mo done right in video games. And this game...
I thought it got a little excessive.
Well, okay, like, near the end of the night when we've been playing for 2 hours and we were with 6 people, and every time you get a crit, the entire team gets, like, a slow-mo, like, aim your shots and do it. Because, I mean, you can't slow one person down without slowing everyone down. And essentially, whenever you got a crit, the game would go, like, all, like, black and white with red stylistic for the blood. And
the
you
blood,
could,
yeah.
It went all slow.
Blood everywhere, by the way.
Yeah, it's like Bloodborne ain't got nothing on this. There's just blood everywhere. And when it went slow-mo, it would be, like, near the end of the game in the waves when there was, like, hundreds of zombies, just crit after crit after crit. And you're just slow motion. And the worst part is, like, oh, man, I'm mid-reload. And it's, like, still so epic. It's like, but you're right. It got a little annoying. I wish I wish it would reload fast and let you, like, aim. Like, it didn't punish you for being mid-reload when someone else got a crit. Mm. But I think it's more for the player that actually did get the crit and just lining up those shots. And I'm half sure, like, shooting their heads
because
up.
Because where I was melee and I was playing with the sword, mm-hmm. half the time I wasn't even 100% sure if I was the one that got the crit or not.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really say.
There's no, like, feedback. There's no health bars. There's no numbers popping up. There's no nothing. It's just if you've swung the sword the right way, all of a sudden the zombie didn't have a head anymore. And I was like, yes. But then sometimes I'd get a crit for doing that and sometimes I wouldn't. So then I was just like, well, was that a crit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I noticed a couple bars, like little health bars above enemies that actually would stay up long enough. Most of this stuff is cannon
fodder.
Maybe
it was my settings, because I definitely didn't see any health bars whatsoever. Like, on the boss, when I think James is saying, like, oh, we almost got him, I'm like, how do you know? He went from, like, yellow to then orange to then red, but, like, as a boss, like, all the highlights and colors on his armor and stuff mm-hmm. went from, like, changed color, but there was no health bar, so maybe it was my settings.
He was a hurting unit near the end. Like, he progressed from, like, a chipper little dude, like, all green and glowy to, like, sparks flying out and just mm-hmm. deep red. And when you actually shot at him, like, you were seeing, like, splatter as opposed to just, like, ting, 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 you know, like, it bouncing off his armor. So they did a really good job at illustrating the impact when you hit somebody with these guns, which I find is the one thing that really pulls me out of games. It's why most MMOs I can't stick with on the sole basis of combat, because you're not getting that feedback. And in this game, you're getting constant feedback. When you're shooting stuff, when you're getting rewarded for headshots. Headshots are more strategic than just taking things out. It's about disabling your enemy. So when you get the big belchers from, like, Left 4 Dead come up and they're about to, like, spit on you, if you hit them in the head, they'll still come at you swinging, but they can't spit at you anymore, so they become less of a threat. Mm-hmm. And the varying zombie types were really cool. There was a lot of different types.
There was, like, I'm trying to think. There was the spider dudes. There mm-hmm. was, like, the regular zombie dudes. There was the big, fat spitter dudes. Mm-hmm. There was the dudes with swords for arms.
Yeah.
There was the siren chick.
Yeah.
There was the guy with the chainsaw. There was the big dude.
The flesh puncher or something? What was he called?
Yeah, flesh mangler.
Oh, dear. That's worse. It was flesh pounder? That's not right. That's not right. That can't be it at all.
I love how we both got there, though.
Yeah. How about that SEO, though, if we called this episode flesh pounder?
Oh, God, no.
seriously,
right up there
though,
with porno Mad Libs.
We still get Google hits for that. People, what are you doing? Like, there's real porn on the internet. You need porn Mad Libs? What's happening?
But yeah, so there, and then plus the boss guy.
Yes, the boss guy.
Oh, and the invisible ninjas. Invisible ninja zombies is a thing in this game.
They would, like, do roundhouse kicks, and it reminded me of
in Mass Effect. The ninjas with the swords. They moved the same. Oh, what are they called?
They're not reavers. It's been so long.
So bad.
They were Cerberus, though, right?
They were Cerberus, yeah.
Vipers?
Oh, Val's gonna know. Phantoms! Thank you, Leo. Phantoms. Boom.
Leo and Val, two of the biggest Mass Effect fans. I'm glad we had them tonight. Yep. Saving our butts.
They were exactly the same as Phantoms, except for they didn't have swords, but they definitely kicked you in the face. That's like 10 different kinds of zombies. And the further on you got, because, like, the first wave is just, like, the spider zombies, the normal zombies, and the big fat zombies. And the further on you go, you get less of the normal ones and more of the more powerful ones. So it was fun. I really, really enjoyed it, which, again, I didn't think I was going to. So
yeah, and they're coming. So this game here, folks, it's on PC now, early access, $30. It's going to be coming to PS4 at some point in the near future. And a whole bunch of people in the Gamers In community, including us, have the game. So, I don't know. Do you think this is something we add to our roster, our rotating chair, if you will? Maybe
It was definitely a lot of stupid fun. And yeah. I feel like this might be my go-to game when I have had a bad day and I just want to come home and blow shit up. I think this is my new blowing shit up game. Not technically making things explode, but definitely hack and slash and get a whole lot of frustration out.
It's definitely one of those games of hacking and slashing and blood.
Yes.
And lots of different weapons.
We played, there was one time that we played where the level was all snow covered, and then by the end of it, it was just red everywhere. Just like, oh man. So gory. There are gore settings, so if you're not a huge fan of super gore, there's like no gore, moderate gore, and gory gore. And I was playing on gory gore, so
yeah, we had the gore maxed, and blood was flying, and I gotta hand it to some of these early access titles that we've been playing lately, like Dungeon Defenders 2, Killing Floor 2. I think the people who really denounce early access as a thing aren't paying attention to the right games. Like, it's so easy to look at all the bull plop that just is all over Steam when it comes to early access, but there are these solid titles with solid developers that are using this program for good, and let's focus on the positive, right? Like, this game is really good, and it's early access, and they're right up there. They're saying this is a very playable beta, but we wanted to put it out there for everyone to give it a shot, and it's solid. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some UI things that need to be tweaked, but it's beta, right? No crashes, no performance issues.
True. We didn't have any crashes, which was surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Just smiles all around. I think the whole crew was just having a good time, which is what you want.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was in beta until like halfway through the night. So good on ya. And then so for a palate cleanser, after all of that zombie gore hack and slashness, Ryan and I played Battle Block Theater, which is from the makers of Castle Crashers, has kind of a little bit of the, like, it's a similar sense of humor, but I enjoyed the humor in Battle Block Theater so much more than I enjoyed the humor in Castle Crashers, mostly because I got to the point in Castle Crashers where there's, like, just animals pooping everywhere, and that's about as far as I got because I kept getting most of the way through that stage and then dying and then getting reset to the poop joke again, and it was just, too much.
I wasn't a big fan of Castle Crashers. Is fun and all, but I wasn't a huge fan of the humor. Went just a bit too far for me. Like, I'm all for immature humor, but I think this game has a different kind of immature humor. Yeah. It's more silly and childlike, but with an adult edge, as opposed to Castle Crashers, which is just like, it's immature, but like poop jokes immature. Which I know some people are cool with, but
yeah.
I don't know. Diarrhea deer, not my favorite moment in gaming.
Exactly. And that's, Battle Block Theater, we were laughing so much in the opening, like, sequence that I actually have to go back and rewatch it because, I mean, like, it just, it, and there were puns. They got on the friendship.
Yeah. And he's, like, pointed out, the narrator's, like, super fourth wall and just the
narrator is amazing.
The sound effects he's making, like, the start is you're on a ship and they run into a storm, and he's like, woo, woo, and it's like, whoa, this is, it's very animated and very, the narrator's
They're
hilarious.
All like, yeah, they're all puppets on sticks and stuff, and it's really, really funny. So we got through to the first boss and beat the first boss, so it was good. And Val in the chat room right now is saying that playing the game alone is really boring. I haven't tried single player. Ryan and I played together, and you know, it was a lot of fun. We helped each other as much as screwed each other over, as per normal Jocelyn and Ryan gaming nights. So it was a lot of fun, and there were some really cool spots where you had to cooperate in order to progress, and then there were other spots where, you know, we thought we were racing each other and really we were racing just a clock. So we were trying to screw each other over and kicking each other into the water and stuff. And when you fall in the water, you totally die, because obviously. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. You have to collect balls of yarn to get by cats. Like, just... Oh, man,
and there,
so
there
funny.
Are 16... I have 16 friends that have this game. And it supports up to 6 people?
Oh my god, six people? I can't even imagine trying to make my way through that with six people.
Two is already pretty crazy, but yeah. No, I mean, we should totally get a few people in here and just name a few names. Like Val says she has it. I don't know if she has it on PC. Probably not. Actually, she's an Xbox person, but James has it. Lou has it. Lindsay has it. Man, we could get a whole crew together.
Yeah. And the thing that makes it so fun to play with other people is that you can't jump through each other. Like, if you both jump, you smack each other in the air and you fall down. So, I mean, like, you can get in each other's way. It reminded me a lot, actually, when we first started playing of Little Big Planet. But, yeah, you can totally help or hinder. Yeah. There's a lot of coordination because you can actually interact with each other. And so, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And this was a game that I was kind of like, it looks interesting, and I've seen it on sale before, but it didn't quite catch my eye. Usually, like, co-op, well, before game night, co-op games never really shone out, because I have a very weird, like, gaming schedule. But now that we have game night, it's like, perfect. I can make Jocelyn play this with me. Not that it was never a problem to get her to play, you know, play games together, but now it's like, we have a scheduled time. It's like, no, I got to play a co-op game. Let's try something new this week. And, you know, Dungeon Defenders was one of those games.
Mm-hmm. It's making me branch out, that's for sure. And yeah. Battle Block actually came up as an option for me as, like, a recommended game on Steam when I logged in last week. So when I saw that, I was just like, oh, recommended for me, eh? And then I watched the trailer, because the trailer is not the same as the opening sequence. I watched the trailer, and I was laughing my ass off. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. I don't even care. Like, this looks like so much fun. There's a level editor. So you can, you know, make your own levels and share them on Steam, and it just seems really fun. Mm-hmm. And I remember after all the fun that we had playing those custom levels in Portal 2, I was like, well, maybe this is another one where we can download levels once we finish playing through the game. We can download some levels and have some fun. So it seemed like a really good purchase. So yeah, I got the, because there was a double pack or something. So I bought the double pack and then sent one over to Ryan. And man, so good, such a blast.
Yeah, people need to check that one out. I didn't realize it was an older title.
I didn't know either. I thought it was brand new because, like I said, I only just saw it pop up in my feed and on Steam last week.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it's only been a year, but I think it launched on Xbox first. Maybe that's why I'm thinking it sounds so. Anyways, it's really good, and yeah, highly recommend. Another one, like, we're just like, yeah. And the great thing about it is it's not like other multiplayer games where you're investing time. It took 5 minutes to beat one little level, and I'll be completely honest, last night it was still a little late for me, and I was like, I just really wanted to get to the next cutscene, so I'm like, power through. And it was so fun and so hilarious. And even as you're playing the game, like, we talk about the narrator is great in the cinematics, but just the one-liners he throws out while you're actually playing, reacting to what you're doing,
yeah,
it's like Bastion but funny. It's so good. And Bastion's a great game. That's not me being rude or anything, but it's so good. So good.
Very, very good. So that's pretty much all that I've played this week outside of, obviously, WoW and Hearthstone. Hearthstone had Blackrock Mountain. The new Wing came out. So
I have to sing it. Today. Don't you have to sing it?
I am not singing.
You have to, though. You have to.
No.
That's part of the contract.
Nope.
I can't even remember how it goes.
You know, it's so funny because when Blackrock Mountain was actually announced, everyone was talking about this song. And I was just like, oh, I should totally try to find this song because I was at work. I missed the announcement. And then when you actually find the song, it's like 10 seconds of music. And it literally just says, like, Blackrock Mountain, a Hearthstone adventure, but in, like, kind of like a sing-songy, I'm not doing it.
It's like Gandalf.
It's like Gandalf. And I was just like, that's the song that everyone's talking about?
It's like, I couldn't even think about it. It really does, when you try to sing it, you probably just end up saying it. It's like, Black Rock Mountain, a Hearthstone adventure. No, wait, that's Allstate. Nope. That's not it.
It's not even close. But yeah, it's more a jingle than a song, I guess, is a good way.
There you go. Blood Anubis in the chat room suggests that we create a milestone for Patreon where you have to sing.
No, it's like, I don't sing. I won't sing. Not
you guys
happening.
Go back to the early episodes. There's multiple episodes where I break into song, and I think
always sings.
We've had to sign a contract that we're not allowed to sing. When we signed on, when they move it, one of the little notes, which I think was scrawled in Jocelyn's writing, it's like, no one's allowed to sing on the podcast. Like,
so says A-Move.
Your loss.
On that note, Get it? Note?
Stop it. Stop it. No, I knew I should have added no puns to the contract as well. Damn it.
So on that note, I just wanted to mention that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersRing to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. That brings us to our topic of the week this week, which, not surprisingly, is that Steam is going to support paying for mods. They're starting off with Skyrim. And a lot of the things that I saw at first were like, who even cares about Skyrim mods? Isn't that game like 4 years old? Lots of people still play Skyrim and care about mods, apparently. But basically what they're doing is they're enabling creators to be able to charge for their mods. Varying prices, whatever they choose, but not pay what you want. So it's basically charge what you want to the creator. Right?
No, it's actually going to be free, paid, or pay what you want.
Oh, they do have a pay what you want option. I didn't think that they did.
Yeah, it's,
I thought you had to say, like, if I was a creator and I made a sword, then you had to say, like, okay, my sword costs 49 cents.
No, it's, well, I don't know. I think most of them are, like, paid. Like, you have to pay for them. But just looking here, I just pasted a link in the chat room there. It's the official workshop about paid content page, which I got to say, I love the way Steam like lays out their information announcement pages. Sorry, I got to geek out about like just the way they lay out their design and this stuff, because a lot of other places like, here's a fact and a block of text and maybe an image about what you might be reading about. No, Steam, they go all out. They even have like, I'm like you. I don't know a lot about Skyrim mods. But every time you load the page, they load a new mod to feature on the page.
True.
And since we've been, you know, thinking about talking about this tonight, I've been looking at the page a lot. But anyways, it says free, paid, or pay what you want with over 24,000 free mods available for Skyrim. There will always be lots to do and explore for free, but this gives an opportunity for mod creators to get a little extra, you know, and whether it's free, pay, or pay what you want. And the or kind of, to me, dictates that maybe they'll have... I don't think you'll be able to have options for each item, but I don't think there's any penalty to uploading the same item twice, one as pay what you want and one as paid, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is brand new. This is this week.
Yeah, this literally was announced. I feel like it was yesterday that this partnership type charge for mods program was announced. And I mean, so we should mention that there's two kind of schools of thought on this.
Break them down.
There's the people which tend to be where I fall that are happy about this, because I like to see people who put hard work into something, especially in the creative realm, getting paid for it, because it does take a lot of time and effort and energy to create something. We have a lot of friends who are podcasters, a lot of friends who are artists, and to see people getting paid for things makes me happy. So I think it's really nice that they're being given the choice of charging for things. But then there's the flip side, which I understand a little bit less, I guess, or I maybe sympathize with a little bit less. But basically, I've seen a lot of people arguing, saying like, well, mods have always been free. So what do you mean now you want me to pay you for something that you've always given me for free? That doesn't make any sense. And I have a little bit of trouble sympathizing with that.
Mm-hmm.
But one big problem, and I know, Ryan, you were speaking to James earlier on today, so you might be able to shed a little bit of light on this.
Sure.
But basically, what I've heard, and again, hearsay, I'm not 100% sure how all this is going to work, is that if I put up my mod for free, Steam has basically said anyone can take that and sell it. Is that right? So if I put up my code, anyone can take that code, take that mod, put their name on it, maybe change something, maybe not, and then charge a dollar for it.
Right now, it's sort of a Wild West. I think that both Valve and Bethesda, the first partner company that there were, it's on a company by company basis. It's not like, lol, buy all the mods. It's literally just Skyrim right now through Bethesda and Valve. And they've kind of said it's a hands-off approach. We are not touching it. it's all about the modders, all about the modders. And I think a lot of people are poking holes in that and saying, well, if it's all about the modders, like, and they don't police themselves, anybody who puts something up for free can take it and charge for it. I think there will be a reporting service. And again, this is just a theory. Like, Valve isn't stupid. Steam didn't get to where it is today without listening to what people are saying. I think it's great that they're going to start allowing creators to earn money for what they're doing. Like, there's already people out there that are making money building microtransaction items for current Valve games like Dota 2 and Team Fortress 2. So this is not new. It's just that you're right. For a good 4 years, Skyrim mods have been free, and they will continue to be free, but some of them will become paid, and some mm-hmm. of them will become toss a nickel in the jar and let's do this thing, you know, like a pay what you want kind of thing. But you're right, like, anybody could take a free mod, put it back up, but one would hope there would be a reporting service that allows Valve to go in and say, look, this isn't yours, we're banning your account and taking this down. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if that system is already there. But a lot of people on the internet like to poke holes on stuff when they don't like the end result, which, and people making that argument are on the side of the creators, right? But some of those people are on that side saying, like, this is a bad thing because of X, Y, Z, when really they're saying it's a bad thing because of A, which is I don't get my mods for free anymore. And that's a creator thing, mm-hmm. right? It's mod by mod. It's not all mods have to go paid. So if your favorite mod suddenly becomes paid, that's up to you to go to the creator and have it out with them, not Valve. A lot of people are really taking Valve and saying, this is a bad idea, Valve. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. When really, it's a partnership with Valve, Bethesda, and their community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, well, people have been asking for this, right?
Yeah, and other people I've seen have said basically, like, oh, if it's all about the creator, if it's all about the modder, then why are Valve and Bethesda taking such a big cut? Well, it's Valve's platform, and it's Bethesda's game. Yeah. So I can see Valve and Bethesda taking a sizable cut. The key is that creators used to get nothing. Now they're going to get something. And to me, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and if they want to continue getting nothing, as well as the other companies getting nothing, they can put it out for free.
Yeah.
But I think the ratio right now isn't published on this page. But I've done some digging, and it looks like what is the official number is 25% to the modders, the normal 30% cut for Valve, which they get from every microtransaction. That's not new. And then mm-hmm. the rest goes to the developer.
Well, and 30% is pretty standard. That's exactly what Apple gets for the mm-hmm. For the App Store. So I don't see what the issue is there with that 30% going to the platform.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I've seen a lot of people saying, like, oh, you know, the ideal split would be 50 to modders, 25 to original devs, 25 to Valve. And it's like, sure, yeah, maybe, but you could also create a store for your mod and sell it that way, you know, and but that takes money too. That costs hosting. Like, and not to mention that you're using someone else's engine. You can't go over to Unity and say, I'm just going to use this and give you nothing, even mm-hmm. if it is free right now. There are still, like, agreements to sign, and you are paying a rev share at a certain point. And some of these mods, the most popular ones that would charge because you can actually make money off of them, they sell a lot of copies. They get a lot of downloads, right? So I think this is just really good, and I think that it's a similar issue as to when Valve introduced Steam. A lot of people hated it, and now it's the biggest thing in PC gaming. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, you just kind of have to let these companies try these things. And if it's a huge failure and people stop paying for and stop using mods and the modders say it's a bad idea, Valve will fix it. Like, they don't let stuff stagnate. They fix it, except for Half-Life mm-hmm. 2. But there was nothing wrong with that, right? So they just left it. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't feel a need to go back to it and fix it. Damn it, I want a Half-Life 3 so bad.
So, I mean, is there anything else? I'm trying to think, because obviously you and I are on the same side with this. Like, yay, paying creators, good mm-hmm. thing. Is there anything that we're missing here? Like, is there anything else that you've seen online or from your conversations with James? Because I know, like, I have some people that I follow on Twitter who are 100% against this. People that I've known for a long time are very intelligent, are, like, way into the games industry, like, hardcore. And I feel like I'm being very, very confused by their stance on this. So is there anything else that you've seen that maybe might sway us the other way?
I don't know. Like, maybe it's because, like, we're content creators or we create products that, like, part-time on the side of GamersIn, I'm a website developer. I develop websites. And I've had people who come across my services and say, like, oh, well, you can do it for X amount because I can go do it myself on GeoCities or whatever. And it's like, well, no, that's not how it works. Like, you're paying for a product. You're paying for something that I'm going to put time and effort that I could be spending on other things into something for you. So when I'm built, say, let's look at a mod. Like, let's look at those mods we played, the Portal 2 mods. Would you have paid $5 for them?
Sure.
Yeah. They were totally worth it.
They were well done. They had a story. They added to the game in a way that I couldn't add to it myself. I've tried to make a Portal 2 level. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And people play a lot of... yeah. And a lot of people are complaining that... you know, oh, you're going to corrupt the modding community, because the modding community has always been about, you know, let's tinker, let's get in there, let's make some cool stuff. But I think these days modding has become more than just tinkering. It's become, I'm going to create my little corner in Skyrim and I'm going to let everybody play it. And that is content creation, as opposed to just let's make faces cleaner in Skyrim. Like, mm-hmm. And that's a real mod.
I'm trying to phrase the argument correctly, because again, it's not my argument, but I've seen people say that modding used to be and should be a way to get into the industry. And I guess what I don't understand about that, or how that would be impacted by charging for it. Like, basically people are saying, like, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, you're paying your dues, you do it for free because you want to have a portfolio to put forward to Bethesda because you want to go get hired.
Sure.
But I don't see the problem with getting paid for that at the same time. Like, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows, like, I would absolutely freaking love to be a community manager for Hearthstone, mm-hmm. And go work for Blizzard. I'm currently podcasting and doing a lot of community management through Amove to build up my resume, but I still get paid for Angry Chicken. So, I mean, we get paid for Gamers In, for that matter, because we have super awesome pay what you want patrons. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how, you know, like, the stuff that I'm doing for those podcasts and for Amove is in any way, you know, not valid because I'm making a couple of dollars a month to do it. You know, I don't know. I don't understand that argument, I guess.
Yeah. And folks who are listening and watching the video, don't feel like we think we are just superior beings and we understand this better and we are just in a better place to get Steam's thoughts. It's general confusion, right? Like, we're just different types of game. Everyone's different. And there are some folks out there that feel very strongly about modding, and they feel like modding is very important to them and that it should be free. But the best article I've read that sort of, like, echoes our thoughts is from Giant Bomb by Jeff Gerstmann, with, it's just general confusion. Like, why do people think this is a bad idea? Like, why are these kids? I hope they're kids. Like, one quote here, the idea of fully formed adults posting the predictable slew of pasted in ASCII middle fingers that seems to be shitting up the comments section for some of these paid mods is a little disconcerting. And I agree with that. We need to grow up, folks. Like, this isn't a bad thing. And for the
Blood Anubis in, the chat room also makes a really good point that it makes your portfolio so much stronger if you can show that you're already making something on your own that people already want to buy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you can say, I made a Skyrim mod, I charge $20 for it, and this is how many downloads I have since I started charging. Like, that's huge. That's huge. I completely 100% agree with that point, that if people already want to pay you for it, then it's like having a job already. And, you know, it's almost validates your work experience even more, you know? Like, it makes it that much better to a potential employer. So I completely agree with that.
It's an odd argument. And I think we all need to get at a point where there's some shitty stuff happening in this industry. Creators being paid for their hard work is not one of those shitty things.
It's not one of the things we should be outraged over.
There are bigger fish to fry, my friends. And if you want to tackle paying for extra content, why don't we look at shitty DLC practices? You know,
I would argue that the way the DLC is done right now is way, way worse than paying mod creators.
you want to know the best company out there doing DLC right now? And this is going to shock you, folks. It's Nintendo. Just look at the way they're doing DLC with their titles. They're announcing it post-launch. They're putting it out there for the fans that want it. Look at Mario Kart. You're paying $12 for a pack of 16 tracks, 6 characters, 8 racing carts. Like, that's a slew of content that you would pay triple, if not quadruple for, and piecemeal, and any other company. And that's just Mario Kart. Smash is doing a similar thing. A full-fledged fighting character for both Wii U and 3DS for $5. Like, that is a steal. So I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Sorry, so yes, my Nintendo preaching hour. It's not an hour. We already did an hour. Yeah. And she says I'm right, so take that, chat room.
I think that pretty much does it for this topic for us. I mean, I would really, really like to hear from everyone who's currently listening to the sound of my voice to present the other side of this argument, because I'm really having trouble wrapping my head around why this is such a big deal and why people are so up in arms. So I really, this week, I know we always say, you know, shoot your emails over to us and all the rest of it, but this week, like, I really want to hear what you guys think, how you feel about the whole paying modders for what they do, and where you think it might go from here. Because like we mentioned, right now it's Skyrim. I wouldn't be surprised if Portal is the next step, because Portal's got Steam Workshop, it's a Valve property. Like, I can see Portal 2 being the next step here. But I really want to know what you guys think, especially if you hold the opposite view to what Ryan and I have kind of presented as ours right here. So, yeah, just shoot us an email, info@gamersinpodcast.com. So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you should do so by heading over to /loot.com. That is SLASH loot.com. You can grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, which I will be guesting on in a couple of hours, Torrin Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So head on over to /loot.com to show off your podcast pride. So Ryan, you have a reminder for everybody.
Yes. So as part of our Patreon reminder, we have our Patreon hangout tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern.
I'm gonna have to set an alarm.
Yes, 1 p.m. Eastern. And that's 2 p.m. for you, is not?
I know, but I mean, I've been staying up and I've been streaming and I've been podcasting on Friday and Saturday nights, and I've been lucky to wake up by 2 on some weekends. So
that must be nice. I gotta get up tomorrow at like 8 a.m. but yes, tomorrow 1 p.m. Saturday, for those who can't miss it or can't be there, we are gonna put the file up at some point over the weekend, and then a week later for non-patrons. But I would like to thank our patrons for making this possible, especially Robert R., who is a fantastic person and overall awesome gentleman. And just a reminder, we are, I think, at 143. We dipped below our Patreon hangout milestone. But if you want to see a May Patreon hangout, we're only $7 short. And we do it for the patrons. And again, no pressure, but just a reminder to folks who
no
like
pressure.
The patron. There's no pressure, but I...
that makes me laugh.
What's that mean?
It's just so funny.
I don't understand why it's funny. I'm doing a
no
service.
No pressure, guys. No pressure.
No pressure, but we do talk about different things on the Patreon Hangout because it's driven by our listeners.
Your questions and your calls. Yeah,
we just sit there and react. So you could ask a question about video games, or you could ask a question about this thing, whatever this is. This little and for the you got to watch the video to see. You don't know what I'm holding up.
Yep.
So depending on Jocelyn's reaction, she giggled. So
it could be anything. I giggle at everything.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But anyways, Patreon extended.
That's
thing.
Tomorrow. Yeah. So guys, tomorrow, come hang out. That'll be on twitch.tv/thegamersin. So check it out tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. We also have apparently a huge email from Val. So since we have a huge email from Val and didn't have time to put it all together, we'll probably be reading that off next week. But we have 7 Heroes of the Storm beta keys to give away. I saw this in here tonight and I meant to put them at the top of the show because we should really just start throwing them into the chat room. And then as they get claimed, we can...
Sure.
Yeah, we can just take them off our list. So why don't we do that right now? You know what? I'm just going to throw Heroes of the Storm beta key if my mouse would actually work. Hang on.
Yeah, we have all right. We have 7 of them there. And
incoming beta key. Kapow.
I know a lot of you already have it, but if we have folks listening to the sounds of our voice or watching live... we have these, and if you want them, they're yours. You can, and if you're not on the live show, you can email us. I already had a few people email us, and I've sent them codes. It's that easy. They're just sitting there waiting to be claimed.
Yep. So if you are actually going to claim that code in the chat room, then just make sure you let us know, and then we will take it off of our list. I think that pretty much does it for tonight. So if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffett. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show, and please do, to let us know what you think about people being able to now pay for mods on Steam, you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.